Welcome to Season 5 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Blake Ramsey, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Breakdown. I'm your host, Hannah Mann. Today's episode looks a little different than usual. If you've been a regular listener of The Breakdown for long, you remember me introducing Callie Montague as a temporary host back in January. Well, now that we've hired a new digital editor for the Breakaway Roping Journal, Callie is moving back over to the Team Roping Journal, and Blake, our new breakaway gal, is taking over the breakaway portion of the podcast. In this episode, Callie and I talked to Blake about her rodeo background, what brought her to the Equine Network, and some things that she is excited to bring to the listeners of The Breakdown. Without further ado, let's jump into the episode. So, Blake, welcome to The Breakdown. Tell me the Blake Ramsey story. I want to know all the things. How'd you end up here? I guess start by giving me your little elevator speech, and then tell me how you ended up here at the Equine Network.
Yeah, I grew up rodeoing in Southeast Colorado and Kansas, and then I took off to Texas to college rodeo. By the time I was done college rodeoing, I was just breakaway roping, and I always have known that I wanted to work in media and marketing, some form in the Western industry. Took me a little while to get here. I was working at a feed store in New Mexico when this job opened up. I saw that Chelsea had posted it on Facebook, so I applied, and now I'm here talking about breakaway roping for a living, and it's everything I've ever dreamed of, really.
Tell me, you did, that's an elevator speech, all right? I think you kept it under 30 seconds, but I want, like, the true blue Blake Ramsey story. Like, what was childhood like? I mean, we know from the group chat that you do be Brandon all the time, but tell us about Cowgirl Blake and how you kind of came to enjoy roping calves all the time, I guess.
Yes. So I have four siblings. I only had three until I was 16. So there was four of us and we all rodeoed, and my stepdad, he ranches. He's from a ranch family in New Mexico. And so we spent a lot of time just out in New Mexico working cattle, riding our good rodeo horses out there that came from my side of the family. That's where the rodeo gene came from, was the Ramseys out of Colorado. And so we would all load up, all four of us kids and five horses that we shared and split, like they ran all the events, just true all around youth horses. And then I went to college and I liked being a Betty Barrel racer, but I didn't have the horsepower underneath of me to be a Betty Barrel racer in the Southwest region. And so I took my little calf horse, who had a lot of woe to him and a lot of cow, and made him a breakaway horse. And I just roped some in high school, but wasn't any good at it, didn't take it very seriously. And then I got to Clarendon, and I had a lot of, out here in the panhandle, everybody's handy and everybody's a cowboy, not just in the arena. And so we just, the guys on my rodeo team just beat it into me. We would rope the dummy until I cried. We would run calves, rope the sled, and got pretty decent at it, and I just loved it. I loved it more than I'd ever loved anything. So that's where, and then when I'm not riding about breakaway, I do go back to New Mexico about every other weekend in the summer and do summer works with my dad.
Okay, but Callie is going to move over. She started on the in team roping land whenever they hired her back last summer, and we stole her for a while we were waiting for our Blake and in breakaway roping land and breakdown land. And now she's moving back to team roper land. Sad. We always knew that's where she was going to go back, but we're still sad about it. But she's going to be, if you like listening to team roping things, you can listen to her over on The Score. She took that over from our boss, Chelsea. And so she'll be talking to all the team ropers about team roper things over there.
So, Blake, I have a question. So with the breakaway being kind of, I would say, like the fastest growing sport, or like the, at least in our four brands, it's for sure the fastest as far as numbers and interest and popularity. What is something that excites you about where breakaway is headed? What is something that fires you up to sit down at your desk and work every day and talk to breakaway ropers? What is it about where the sport's headed that fires you up?
All of it. I got to write a reaction piece on the announcement that the breakaway finals was moving to Fort Worth. And that is one of my, I was so excited to write it. It was a little bit of a challenge, but I am excited that breakaway roping is getting more attention and that we get to talk about how the girls need equal money to rope, and like every rodeo is starting to head that direction. And just to watch a sport, the discipline, the event, however you want to phrase it, that we all thought we had to give up after amateur, like college, you could amateur rodeo, sure, fun, but now to watch it and get to talk about how they're really truly starting to make a living in the breakaway roping is exciting. And I like to watch that progress. And now I have the inside track to what everybody's thinking on both sides. You know, I can talk to a producer, I can talk to a roper, I can talk to whoever and watch how it unfolds and tell that story.
Awesome.
Obviously, whenever we were in college, all of us are the same age. But whenever we were in college, it was kind of the beginning of the boom of breakaway. Sure. But, and so you may not, I obviously was a barrel racer, and so I wasn't paying much attention other than just about like how cool it was, you know, that girls could actually start making some money roping calves for a living. But did either of you think that breakaway would be where it's at now whenever you were in college and trying to, you know, both of you guys were pretty handy and probably could have done something with a rope maybe, but did you think that it would be where it's at now, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
I don't suppose I really thought it would take off this fast. I think the first time it really dawned on me that it might is when Jordan Joe won Cheyenne, because I can't remember if I was at Clarendon or if I was at WT rodeoing for Jordan and Raymond, but that's when it really dawned on me. But I don't think it clicked for me until the last 2 or 3 years that it was going to become what it has. Because when the boom took off, or the breakaway boom, whatever, it was still just very sporadic. Like the women were on the road all summer, but it was very sporadic which rodeos had it, and then they were just jackpotting a lot. And so, no, I guess to answer your question, no, I didn't. It didn't really click for me that it would be what it is.
Yeah, I would agree with Blake. I think watching Jordan Joe that year, she won Cheyenne. I was at WT. I stayed at WT for all of college, and that was I would say eye-opening only because I was like, man, they're gonna let him rope. And as exciting as it was and as cool as that was, I was like, if they don't keep letting them rope, they're silly, right? And so I'm a little different than Blake. Obviously, I grew up in Texas, and Amy rodeoed from the time I was 13, right? So I've known my whole life that the numbers were there, because you go to a Wednesday evening slack at some Amy rodeo in Texas and see how many break. And there still are. The girls that are there now are the ones that just aren't pro rodeoing. They're just the ones that are still bad. I mean, it's still hundreds of girls doing that. And so I knew the numbers were there for sure. But I think Jordan winning Cheyenne was huge. The other thing was like the girls that were Amy rodeoing back when we were in college, and Blake's right, like the boom had started while we were there. But man, we had two of, I would say, Blake, and we worked them. The bigger jackpots of the year happened within a 2-second radius of where me and Blake live now. We both live in Canyon. And so one of them was a Spicer Grip when it was invitation only, 100 girls, and they were walking fresh. Everybody gets one, which those jackpots still exist, but the grip was that for sure when Jordan and Raymond were still here. And then we had several years before that, we had this three-star. That was a great rope, and then it was walking fresh, 100 girls, it was game on. So the numbers were always there. And I think that's why the watching the fight for these girls to get equal money is kind of silly for us, because we're like, what are y'all waiting on? What are you waiting on? The girls are there. Trust me, they're going to work at it. Trust me, they deserved it and they earn it. So like for us that rodeo down here, and not say that y'all didn't have that in y'all's region, Hannah, but like to be down here and we got a firsthand look, we could go like our Slack, our hometown rodeo Slack in Amarillo, Texas, had 150 girls in it every single year. I mean, you can't tell me that the numbers weren't there. So I think that's, yes, I did. I do think that I always kind of knew it would go somewhere. I just didn't know how long it would take. So I'm glad it's now happening and we get a front row seat and we get to talk about it. So yay.
I didn't mean to make you guys like step on your soapbox, but I am here for it. I think everybody's here to listen to the girls deserve it equal money soapbox.
That's our job. Our whole job is this. We are the box, man. That's our poor Blake. She's fixing to lead the charge. So yeah, that's fine if we get on our soapbox.
Wouldn't classify myself as a feminist, but by God, give these women equal money.
Pay them. Pay the women. Hey, the poor people.
Blake, whenever you started, what was kind of the most, I guess, surprising thing for you job-wise? Like, obviously, we step into these roles and you start calling the girls pretty much right off the bat. For me, it was calling the guys right off the bat and writing these stories that, I mean, for an outsider, most people can only dream about writing, you know, especially if you have been in the industry forever. So I know I had some, like, surprising elements whenever I started. So what were yours?
Oh man, I mean, I knew it was a very like involved, and rodeos happen at night and over the weekend, but our group chat starts going off at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and it don't quit until midnight, and it's like that just always going. But also like how you're just reaching out to people, you know, who you grew up, they were your hero, like calling Jackie and getting to talk on the phone with Jackie or getting to talk to LD. And that's just, it's so cool to, like, it's such a full circle moment for me to be able to talk to them. I was 13 years old and went to a Jackie Hobbs back before she was Jackie Crawford clinic. And now I get to call her on the phone and be like, hey Jack, like, tell me your thoughts. How's it going? And I think that's fun. And I didn't realize how just easygoing it was going to be to just talk to people.
I think it's cool. And you talk about how everything's never ending for us. I think that it's almost cool in an aspect, though, how dedicated all of us are to taking our computer with us everywhere. I mean, Callie was at Woodward Slack the other morning and she had her computer in her lap. Like, we always just have our laptops with us anywhere. And I think that dedication shows in our work. And I think that's why people, you know, enjoy reading our publications, maybe over some others, just because of how dedicated we are. At least that's what I like to think. That's me being biased probably 2 years in, but.
Cue that TikTok audio. I'm not playing on my phone. I'm taking care of business.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
us, right. 24/7. Oh, just, man. On our phones. Yeah.
I was at the dealership this morning getting an oil change and it took 30 minutes and I sat down and they were like, we have Wi-Fi. I'm like, oh, thank God. Cause I was about to have a bad day. 30 minutes without Wi-Fi is an ugly day. Now I have to say, I've already told Blake this story 100 times, Hannah. I don't even know if I've told you this, but when we were trying to hire people and I wasn't a part of the hiring process, but you know, Chelsea would be like, hey, do you know who this person, whatever. We'd gone through a couple and just never did get the right feel. Well, anyway, when Chelsea found out Blake and I kind of knew each other, or were at least there was a chance we did, she just asked me, she goes, well, man, what do we think? Like, Chelsea kind of already had her mind made up. She was like, I think this is her, but you know her, so you tell me. And to Blake's luck and a favor, I was like, what I said was, I was like, I can promise you two things. She's a hustler and she is tough enough. And not that, you know, Chelsea always jokes that it ain't brain surgery, and I don't mean tough and like man, this is a hard job. I don't mean that. But if you're somebody that like values your personal time, you better value it watching something, either Cowboy Channel's turned on, we're watching a live stream of some fraternity somewhere. Like, and I told Blake that as soon as she got here, I said, listen, I'm not even going to BS with you. I think you're tough enough and you will be able to do it. But when I tell you it's nonstop, I am not playing, especially because she got hired on, when did you get her, March? Like right after the timed event. And I'm like, girlfriend, listen, it's springtime and it's fixed me summertime. And we've had several conversations of, you know, we all take care of each other. That's my favorite thing about being on team, is we always take care of each other. Like, Hannah knows she needs a day, call me. Blake knows the same thing. And I know that I can call on either of y'all and the whole team to do the same thing. So I just told her, I go, look, if you need a break, you say it, but you better say it. 'Cause if not, not happening. And now we're in June and it's game time. So I knew she was tough enough. I always knew. And I told Chelsea that. So I'm glad that she proved me right, or else I would look stupid.
Something that Taylor and I talked about, I think whenever we did my little intro to the breakdown, was that at least for her and I, we were already watching the rodeos. Like, our both of our husbands have the rodeos on nonstop, unless it's last night whenever Weatherford's on and he's watching blacksmith videos instead. But no, usually we have the Cowboy Channel on and we've got the rodeos playing, and so it's whether or not you might as well get paid for it. I mean, you might as well get paid to watch the rodeo and write the stories and do the things, because you're going to do it anyways. So I don't know. I think that's, all of us are just passionate about it outside of our jobs. And so I think that that's cool personally. But again, I think I'm probably pretty biased.
I have a question before we wrap up, Hannah, if you don't mind. Like, I want to know, because I just want to know this about you. So we cover like all aspects of the sport, right? We're covering all sorts of stuff. We're talking rodeos, we're talking turdies, we're talking jackpots, doesn't matter. People, name it, right? I want to know so far, because I think you've done all of those. You've at least written about all of it, right? What is your favorite so far? Like, do you like the rodeo cup? Because we all have a choice over here. Like, before you got here, we all have our preference within our own brands. So like, what do you think is yours so far?
I like horse stories, because people are passionate about their horses and they like to talk about their horses. And I also like introduction stories, like talking to rookies and introducing who they are as a person, or like game plan. Not that I mind calling somebody and being like, oh, what did you think about your winning run at such and such rodeo? But it's not near as in depth. And I like to tell somebody's whole story.
Yeah. You can only talk about so much that happened within 2 seconds. I make that joke all the time. I'm like, I do love the rodeos and it's so exciting, but unless I was there and saw it with my own two eyes, you'd be like, hey, what happened? And they're like, well, and they were 1-9. And you're like, I know, there's only literally less than 2 seconds of stuff to talk about, but you're going to have to tell me what happened.
Like, it's a lot easier. Like, I talked to Madison Uthier about winning Big Spring, and that's a lot easier to talk about because I've roped at Big Spring so much, because it was in our region and I've gone to jackpots and AMEs. And so like, I can talk about it because I know what the start's like. I know what you have to see. I know what that arena's like. You know, it's a lot harder to pry that stuff out of about a 1-8 at an arena I've never been to and I can't pull just from knowledge.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's definitely an advantage of rodeoing in the southwestern region. Well, now it's a different name, but back in our day, it was the southwestern region. Not sound like a has-been. Yeah, but anyway, that is a huge advantage, because yeah,
I don't know, we're kind of old these days.
Yeah, I'm a wash-up.
Yeah, 6A, yeah. I was telling somebody that the other day. I was talking to them, and I was like, yeah, well, like, you know, I rodeo in the southwestern region, and they were like, okay. And I'm like, in my defense, that used to mean something. I know I'm old now, but like, in my defense.
Downhill almost, side of our 20s, friends.
We've crested the hill for sure. Try not to talk about it.
So Blake, tell me what you're most excited about. I know this is a dreaded question, the question you didn't want to answer. Tell me what you're most excited about for taking over the breakdown. What are some things that you hope to bring to the podcast? What are some things that you hope to maybe change up? Because, you know, your girl over here is not going to be offended if you want to change some things up. What are some things? Tell me.
Personally, and a little selfishly, it's definitely going to help my interviewing skills. So that will be good for like the journalist storytelling side of it. But as far as the podcast goes, I just hope to just bring more regularity and maybe like consistency to it, so that we can really draw in some listeners. And just, I like to tell stories. I like to let people tell their own stories. So maybe just some more, like, it doesn't really have to be zoned in on something, but just calling people and just letting our viewers hear their real side and their story.
So Blake's trying to knock these podcasts out for our lovely listeners of The Breakdown. So if any of our listeners are the top 15 girls, text Blake back so that she can get so she can get some things rolling. She's never spam. She just wants to talk to you and ask you sweet little innocent questions. Blake's nice. We like Blake.
I don't bite, and I will be your biggest cheerleader.
Well, thank you, Blake. Thank you, Callie. I guess this is Callie Montague signing off of The Breakdown, but you can go listen to her over on The Score. So don't be surprised whenever Blake and I are going to record a new intro after this, and you're going to hear Blake's voice in the intro, and you're going to start next week, right, Blake? Next week, bright, I mean,
yes.
Early, you're going to start.
Headed out to Old West, and I'm going to be chatting up with the breakaway ropers in the fraternity world.
Exciting things. So, I mean, she's kicking things off hot, so it should be fun. But thank you guys for joining me on this little episode, and I'm excited to see what you do with The Breakdown, Blake.
Thanks, friend. Thanks for having me. See you soon.